if you can remember back that far, 2 weeks ago, we had studied a lesson on what are you missing? And we want to continue that. We had a little break last week. Brother Campbell was here and preached for us last week, so we had a little break. But we're going to continue that. A little bit of reminder of what we talked about last time. We talked about in John chapter 20 that Jesus came into the midst of them when they were gathered together. And if you hadn't been there, you'd have missed that. In Acts chapter 1, they came together, the apostles that is, came together to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. And if you'd have been one of those apostles and you weren't there, you would have missed out on that. And we talked also about how in John that Thomas, one of the apostles, wasn't there when Jesus showed up, and he missed out on getting to see Jesus that time because he wasn't there. They were all together on the first day of the week, but Thomas didn't show up, so he missed out on having that time with Jesus. Then, Acts chapter 4, they're all together, assembled together, and some great things happen. The place where they were shook, this is Acts 4:31, the place where they were shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit as well. And so if you hadn't been there for that back then, you would have missed out on that. In Acts chapter 11, many people were taught because they were all together, able to hear the apostles come and preach and teach. And what's more, this was in the city of Antioch in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. If you hadn't been faithfully assembling as part of the church here, you would have missed out on getting to be called a Christian. They were first called Christians there in Antioch, but they were called Christians because they came together. They gathered together to worship God. Then, in Acts chapter 15, a great decision is made when they're assembled together. Those that weren't there just didn't get to have any input in the decision that was made and may have not even known about it. For example, this morning, there are many of our number that aren't here this morning. Because they're not here this morning, they didn't get to hear the announcement about our new sister. It may be, you know, unless if somebody calls them and tells them, or it may be, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. They come. They may not. There have been cases where it's been 2 months. Somebody's been a member of the church, and somebody comes up to me and said, "What's the situation with this so and so that sits over here? What's going on?" I said, "Well, they were baptized about 2 months ago." Really, I didn't know that. I know some have been gone for a period of time and come back, and somebody's up serving in the Lord's temple. Who's that? Or somebody gets up to read the scripture. Who's that? Well, that's one of our new brothers and sisters, and you didn't know about it because you weren't here. You missed out on big things happening. So we talked about those things, though, last time. We're going to move on now. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 12. Let's start at 12 and we'll move on to 13 and 14, probably be about all we get. It seems like almost every chapter in the book of Acts, the saints were getting together. Constantly, they're doing this. All the time, getting together, meeting together. In Acts chapter 12, we want to look down to verse 12, and we'll begin there. Previously in this chapter, Peter had been in prison, and he was released from prison. He got out of prison. Miraculously, I might add, the angel came and released him, opened the prison door so he could get out. Notice what happens in verse 12. When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. We all know that we can pray to God, and we know that God hears us if we're faithful Christians. But the power of a group of Christians being together praying is far superior to the power of one individual. James says the prayer of a righteous man avails much. Well, if that one gathered together. That's why we have the prayer request. That took 25 minutes this morning for us to get the prayer request and have a prayer, because those things are important. Because we know that that's something that can cause change in the world. We know that that's a significant thing, and the fact that God allows us even to come to Him in prayer. But this group of people was at this Mary. This is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is Mary, the mother of John Mark. He's the one that wrote down the Gospel of Mark. He's the one that wrote it down. So this is John Mark. So here he was. Here they all were in this house praying, and Peter has just miraculously escaped from jail. They've been praying for Peter to escape. You know, they do this. Peter's in jail. Don't know what's going to happen. What kind of situation it is. James, the Apostle James, the brother of John. So Peter, James, and John. James had already been beheaded. Yeah. Peter's in jail. The Christians don't know what's going to happen next. So they're praying. And here comes Peter to the door, and he knocks on the door, and a young lady named Rhoda comes and answers the door. But she hears him. She knows his voice. She was so excited, she doesn't even open the door. She goes running back into the assembly, and where everybody is. And she comes running back in and says, "Peter's standing out there at the gate. He's at the door." And they thought that she lost her mind. They said, "You're mad. You're crazy." They knew he was in jail, but she kept saying, "Yes, yes." And then they said, "No, it's his angel," or basically his ghost, his spirit. And she said, "No, it's him." And so Peter kept on knocking on the door until finally they came door and opened it. If you had been there that night, you would have been able to experience that miracle of Peter's release from prison. You would have got to hear it in his own words. He would have been able to tell how the angel loosened the bonds, the chains that had him chained up, how the angel opened the door for him, how he walked out past the guards without them even noticing, and how then the angel left him once there. You would have got to hear Peter tell that in his own words. But if you, like many, had been somewhere else, doing something else, you would have missed out on that. Then in chapter 13, we'll look down to verse 42. Verse 42, it says, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." Now notice verse 44, what happened. Here these folks had a whole week from it was one Saturday, Paul and Barnabas had gone, the Jewish people were worshiping, they'd gone when the Jewish people worshiping and told them about Jesus. Some of them didn't want to have anything to do with it. Some of them said, "Can you come back next week and tell us some more about this?" And so they said, "Okay, we'll be back." They had a whole week to prepare to be there or to choose to do something different. Verse 44 says, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God." These were folks that weren't even, they weren't Christian. They weren't even Jews, some of them probably. They weren't even religious, some of them. But when they heard, some of them had heard the first week what Paul was saying, what Paul and Barnabas were teaching. Some of them got to hear that. And they were so excited by what they heard. And they went out and told their friends and neighbors that, "Look, next week this guy's going to be preaching again. He's going to be teaching us about some fellow named Jesus. Y'all better come and listen to this. This is something exciting." Unfortunately, in our world today, sometimes we get more excited about a car or a television show or a parade or something than we are about being together to study God's Word. You need to be excited about this. This is big. big news going on here. This is something amazing. Something wonderful. And we're missing out on it when we're not here to hear more about the man they call Jesus. We need to hear as much as we can about him to get to know about him and to get to know him. And in chapter 14 of the book of Acts, down around verse 27, I tell you, if you'd have missed this gathering, you'd have really missed out on something. Especially for all of us. I think we've discussed before the fact that there were two kinds of people in the world. There are Jews and Gentiles. The Jews were the descendants of Abraham. The Gentiles was everybody else. And so there are a lot more Gentiles in the world than Jews. There are probably, at this point in time, maybe 50 million Jews in the world by birth. Maybe that many. Maybe a little more than that. But, you know, there are 6 billion people in the world. Most of us are Gentiles. We're not Jews. And what happens in chapter 14, it should be of special interest to us. Here, chapter 14, in verse 26, Paul and Barnabas and those with him had come to Antioch, and they had, then, when they got there, verse 27 says, when they were come and had gathered the church together, they got the church to come together for a big announcement is going to be made. You wouldn't have wanted to miss this. When the church came together, they rehearsed, in other words, they retold all that God had done with them. Oh, getting to hear all the things that happened on their journey. I mean, some amazing things happened on some of their journeys. All sorts of exciting things going on. You get to hear about that. What's more, then they also told how God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. Getting to spend time with the apostles, great. Getting to find out that as Gentiles, God has opened the door for us to be saved. Well, you wouldn't have wanted to miss out on that, would you? That's something really wonderful. But if you hadn't been there, you'd have missed that announcement. You missed out. Nothing to it. Let's look at one more, and then we'll be finished for the day. In Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, and verses 6 and 7. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. Here's what had happened. There were some of the Jews who, remember that big announcement about the Gentiles getting to be Christians just a few verses back, end of chapter 14? Well, there were some Jews that after they heard about this, they started causing trouble. They said, now you know what? The law of Moses says you have to be circumcised. So we're going to have to get all these Gentiles to become circumcised first before they can become Christians. And they made a big stink about it, big uproar over this. So Paul and Barnabas argued with them for a while, and then they said, well, tell you what, we're going to go up to Jerusalem. We're going to talk to the apostles about this situation. We're going to find out what God really has to say about it. Well, let me tell you something. This is an important issue. Here is something, it's going to be decided whether circumcision is necessary for somebody to get to go to heaven or not. We're going to find out whether something is essential for salvation. The terminology that would be used in modern times. Is it something that you have to do or not? And so they came. And they came together with the apostles and elders to Jerusalem to consider this matter. They were going to discuss it. They were going to talk about it. But what would it have been if you had just missed out on that one? Something as important as that? Hope there wasn't something more important that needed to be done than that. Well, then verse 7. When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said to the men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us as Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That's what he has to say about it. He says, look, when God told me to go to these Gentiles, he didn't say anything about making them Jews first, making them be circumcised like the Jews were. He didn't say anything about that. He just told them, go to them that they believe. And he goes on in verse 8, he says, and he knows their heart, and he gave them the Holy Spirit, just like he gave it to us that are Jews. And he says in verse 9, he put no difference between us, and he purified their heart by faith. Not by circumcision, but by faith. Well, going on down the chapter then, in verse 24, they decided to write some letters to the churches, especially for the Gentiles that had become Christians. In verse 24, here's what they write in their letter. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with word, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seems good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Now, notice what he said, being assembled with one accord. This was such a momentous decision, such an important thing. Paul and Barnabas couldn't make this decision on their own. They had to go to the apostles and find out. What did God really say about this? Now notice, they didn't just go and ask Peter, Peter, what do you think? And then go back home. They all of the apostles got together, and the elders as well. Now we just had last Sunday, we had a congregational meeting. Ideas were brought up. The elders told us some decisions that they had made, and different things were discussed. Those that weren't here last Sunday, first of all, didn't get to make any of their comments, didn't get to point out any problems that they might have had, didn't get to tell what things they would like to see different or better or whatever, and didn't get to hear the suggestions made by others, didn't get to hear what decisions the elders had made concerning these things. It's missed out when you're not here. That's why it's so important for us every time we are meeting together to be a part of that. It's not like it's a big surprise. We know when we're meeting together. We have a schedule. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we know when we're getting together. We miss out on so much when we're not here. We're going to continue this. We may continue this through the end of this year. We've got two more Sundays in the year, so we will make it. There's so much that we miss out on. Today we've seen that we miss out on hearing the Word of God taught. We miss out on getting to experience great things and having things told that have happened to others. Seeing God answer prayer. We miss out on that when we're not in the assembly. We also saw that we miss out on finding out about big decisions. Big, important changes, or in some cases not changes, but just confirmation of things. Then we saw finally in chapter 15 that we miss out on important doctrine being taught. Important doctrine. That's what happened in chapter 15. Big question over doctrine, over how are we saved. That's a big question in the religious world today, isn't it? How are we saved? One church will tell you one thing. One preacher on TV will tell you something else. You read a book, you'll hear another thing. All sorts of different answers to that question. But God has an answer to that question. That's what we've got to find out. See, the apostles and the elders came together to make that determination of what God wanted back in the book of Acts. today we don't make these decisions on our own. We go back to the Word of God. And we look and see, what does it say? And then we hold fast that decision that's been made concerning doctrinal matters. How are we saved? The Bible's very clear on that matter. If you have never believed in Jesus Christ, you need to do that. Maybe you have believed, or you do believe in Jesus. You believe He's the Son of God. If you believe that, then you need to go to the next step and be willing to repent of your sins. Acts 2:38 tells us we should repent of our sins. Then maybe you've done that. You need to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Maybe you say, well, I've done that too. That's all a lot of people would ask of you. That's all a lot of churches expect of people. And they say, oh, you've done that? You're saved then. But that's not where the Bible stops. The Bible says after you've done that, after you've believed and you've repented and you've confessed Jesus, then you need to be baptized. You need to be buried in water. You wash your sins away. Many passages in the New Testament talk about the importance of baptism. Jesus in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 and also in Mark chapter 16 told the apostles that they were supposed to go out and teach people and baptize them. Baptize the ones that believe. You need to do that. Maybe you say, well, I've done all that. So now I can just go home and sit down all day and rest. No, that's just the beginning. That's the new birth that Jesus talks about in John chapter 3. You're now in a situation where you better start eating or you're going to starve to death. After our son was born, the first day, he wouldn't eat. He didn't know how or hadn't learned how. Didn't know what to do about it. And he lost about 10 ounces. Excuse me, 10 ounces. Well, I wish I could lose a lot more than 10. I wish I could lose 10 pounds. But for a little fellow, that's a lot to lose. He was starving to death until he learned how to eat. We've got to learn how to eat as Christians too. Spiritually speaking, we've got to eat God's Word. We've got to devour it and consume it. And then let it bring us the nourishment that food does. And then of course, once we have the strength from eating, we've got to get to work too. We just eat, and don't do any work. We'll just sit around being lazy and get fat. But we got to stay lean. We got to go out and teach and serve and be obedient to God when we study something and learn something that we should do. If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation, either in initial obedience, as we've discussed, or if as a Christian, you need to rededicate your life to Christ, we ask that you come as we stand and as we